This is Game On. With your host, Seat Williams.
Game On!
Back on the streets of Vegas, feeling good here on a Friday. 3 o'clock standing tall. Seat Williams already's got the wheels of steel. Plenty to get to today. Kind of a switcheroo. George Cole, Aliante, Canary North, bottom of the hour. Dope, yeah, about 15 minutes from now. And then the final go-around, we got Rebel Tickets, once again, as they take on SDSU coming up later this month. They got Utah State coming up tomorrow. Boy, Ari, how are you, brother?
I'm doing well. How about, I'm feeling better now.
Got you. Yep. How about the Vegas Golden Knights? I'm watching that game last night. I saw the last two quarters, periods, and that last shot with about 24 seconds left. I'm like, they nearly tied it up, but St. Louis got the win 2-1. That's, boy, if you're going to beat the Vegas Golden Knights, you're going to have to fight, right? Because they fight each and every time they drop the puck on the ice. And tonight they got Chicago back in the Windy City, so we'll see how they fare there. Got to do something different today. Open up the phone lines. 702-365-9200. Big topic, as you know. Everyone's been on it. 702-365-9200. We'll get to Gruden, the 10-year, 100 mil. He's getting $10 million a year. He hasn't coached in, what, 8 years? Good for him. But the big topic we want to take some calls on is Brady Belichick Kraft, the trainer, and the Jimmy G trade. Because it seems to be everybody's pulling their hair out. 702-365-9200. What are your thoughts? Who goes down first? Who leaves? Or do they mend this and move on? Does Brady retire with Belichick as his head coach? Kraft will be there. He's the owner. He ain't going nowhere. I told you the story a couple of years ago. At a Charger game, he's walking in the hallway in that tunnel. Got the 26-year-old on his left arm. I'm like, okay, that's my dog. So, yeah, Robert Kraft is fine. He's the owner, and he's respected by his peers. Belichick, the best coach we've seen in our lifetime. Perhaps you have to go back to Lombardi if you want to compare people, or the old guy under the hat with the Dallas Cowboys, Landry. But he did lose a number of Super Bowls. But on the other hand, Bill Belichick and Tom Brady seem to be going after one another. We saw this happen with Deflategate. You heard Belichick say, once the question was asked once, hey, well, go ask my quarterback. He didn't even refer to Tom Brady as Tom Brady. So you could see there was tension then. And then they go on and win the Super Bowl. So I'm telling you right now, if you got money to put down on them, take them to win the Super Bowl this year, because it's likely going to happen again. When they get mad at one another, they take it out on the world and their opponents. What are your thoughts? 702-365-9200. Who goes first? Or do they mend this?
Let me ask you something. Who do you think is more valuable of the two? Because I've always heard the whole thing about them, you know, they're going to go together. What, you know, Belichick leaves, Tom Brady's going with him. So I just want to know, you know, at the end of the day, who's more important, this quarterback or the coach? Like, if you have to choose one, I guess. That's my
Well, we
question.
Know who wins the games. Tom Brady wins the games. However, the guy who puts the master script together is who? It's Bill Belichick. If I had to choose between the two of them right now, with my quarterback being 40 years of age, I'm keeping the coach. You know, but the problem is this. You already traded Brissett, the number three quarterback. He's the starting quarterback now with the Colts because Andrew Luck has been hurt with a shoulder injury all year long. And on the other side of things, Jimmy G. Garoppolo is now a 49er. He's 7-0, 5-0 with the Niners. So they really don't have a stable quarterback to come in. To me, in my opinion, that was a bad move. Okay? The work is that Kraft came down and told Belichick, this was back in November. Actually, it was in October. You've got to deal Jimmy Garoppolo before the trading deadline November 1st. Okay, so they did. Belichick was incensed. He was pissed. Didn't want to do it because he knew, or he knows how good this kid is, the upside that Jimmy Garoppolo has. Well, they traded him anyway. Okay, because you're told to do it. Your boss tells you to do something. Guess what? You want to keep your job? You're going to do what you're told, right? And that's exactly what happened. So they're in a tough situation, but, gee, are they really in a tough situation? Okay, we're talking about the New England Patriots. They've won two of the last three Super Bowls. Brady's got five rings, one for the thumb.
Their fans are in a tough situation because they're little babies. Sorry, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Just had to throw
that in.
That's
a good point. But in the end, who goes? Or do they mend this and ride off into the sunset together, like you said they might do, Ari? Yeah. So here we go. I would keep the coach.
Yeah, I'm not the expert in this, but I think so too. And I think his coaching is amazing, actually. Past the quarterback situation, past all that, there's just something about this guy. Like, hate him or love him, you could just see in his eyes even when he talks with all that personality. It just feels like he knows what he's doing. I would want him in charge of my team, definitely, if I had to choose. So
yeah, well, the thing is, Tom Brady 5 years ago, there's no question you want the quarterback. Belichick, though, is a master. Belichick is a guy who, and any player that played under his regime will tell you this. If you're a defensive player, you're told one thing: go out and do your job. Don't worry about covering somebody else's back. You do your job. You cover your back. Everybody else is going to cover theirs, okay? So you don't have a safety trying to cover for a corner because a corner is going to do his job already. They take away your strength. Their number one thing to do is to take your strength away and make you beat them with anything else you can attribute. And it's worked. There's got to be some other formulas that we don't know, a formula that we don't know about, because he's been doing this now forever. Every guy that comes out of Belichick's umbrella seems to be successful, too. You know, it's kind of like you look down in Alabama, Nick Saban. You know, what is he? 8-0 or whatever the number is. He's beaten every coach that he had as a student, and he gets a chance to see what happens with Smart on Monday night when they battle Georgia in the championship game. So some coaches, I mean, you look at the umbrella and the branches that come off the tree from a coach who gets it. And generally, these coaches, the assistants, the coordinators, they do well because they're taught by a very good teacher. The tutor's good. Belichick's that guy. So we'll see what happens in this. It's a situation where I don't know how it's going to end, but I will say this. I do believe, and this is my first time saying this, I think we're going to have a repeat champion in the Super Bowl. It's almost like these guys mess up on purpose. They start finding things to get them upset. Because when Tom Brady's pissed off, what does he do? He goes out there and takes it out on the field. He lights it up. And that's what he's probably going to do in the playoffs this year. If he stays healthy, he can continue this. But if I had to pick between one right now, I'd take the coach. The only problem is the cupboard's empty because they don't have a quarterback that could come in and take over. Remember when the Brady rule when he, I think it was against Kansas City, when he had a player blow his knee up and And he's out. So Castle comes in, wins 11 games, right? They don't have Castle anymore. They don't have a backup that can get it done like Castle either. So we'll see what happens. We'll step away. We'll come back. Lighters up. Dope is next.
Same for a special occasion.
Look like a quarter pounder, man. Led Zeppelin.
Man, be careful with that, man. Is it heavy stuff, man? Will it blow me away?
It's time now for Man, That Show Is Dope.
3:16 in the valley. Lighters up. Pass it. We're going down to Morgantown, Mississippi. M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I. Can you do that? Let me hear it.
M-I-S-S-I-S-S-I-P-P-I.
You got it.
Man, it was so funny. I was trying to spell it the other day on a thing I was typing, and I just
couldn't do it.
Yeah.
It happens. Well, yeah. This woman right here probably has a mind brighter than all of us put together. 99-year-old woman.
Oh.
A hunter in Mississippi wants to know why people are making a big fuss about her recent kill. Okay? Oh, it was a doe, after all. Not a prize buck. Clarion Ledger, or I should say Legger, reports that Bertha Vickers used a 243 Winchester rifle to kill a doe recently a few miles from her rural home. Relatives posted pictures on Vickers and her kill on Facebook, and people sent messages of congratulations. Vickers says she wants to know why everybody thinks it's such a big thing. What's a big deal? Because it's, you know, just a doe, not a buck. Vickers lives near a farming community where she grew up in northern Mississippi outside Starksville. She still mows her own lawn, all right?
Jeez.
And enjoys squirrel hunting. This coming Tuesday, she turns 100 years of age. And she's out shooting does, hunting squirrels. Mowing her own lawn. And we complain about little things that we can't get to? Come on. 99 years of age, about to be a C-note. Girl, you dope.
Woman. Can you even call her girl? That's amazing, though. I don't even I don't even want to be out in the cold. I'm not a hunter anyway, but yeah, I don't even want to be out there. Can you, you would think that at that age, let alone at like 69, that you'd be a little fickle to that kind of weather. So,
but think about it. She turns 100 years of age. She still is hunting with a rifle. Still knows
the resource.
All of her, all of her faculties are still there.
Yeah,
she's coherent. I mean, you're gonna trust somebody with a rifle that is 99 years of age, right? Well, apparently she's got the skill set down to a P.
Is she a larger woman? The kickback on that thing seems like it would just...
That's a pretty good thought.
I think about a 99-year-old frail little tiny woman, you know? Like, that's something. Wow. Well, good for
that's
her.
That's good stuff.
So they made a big deal out of it just because she's so young. So old? Or does it have anything to do with the fact that it's a
Bambi-looking it's a 99-year-old person going out shooting a deer.
Yeah. No, that's pretty dope.
Yeah, it is.
Dope. All right. Speaking of dope, last week Jack in the Box announced that it's teaming up with Snoop Dogg to introduce a combo meal intended for the, quote, stoner community. I didn't know there was such a thing as a stoner community. But the Merry Munchie Meal, as it's called, will be available January 18th to the 25th at three franchise locations in California, and they'll have a plethora of greasy items, chicken strips and tacos and a bunch of stuff like that, you know, to help the famous smoker's decisions on what to eat.
Say what?
I'm trying to reword it so it's a little more exciting. But, you know, they're making it very much accustomed to people that smoke. So the greasy food, you know, the munchy type of thing. They've done this before. They had some, like, the late night munchy menu, something like that. The quote is, we are about welcoming all of our guests, no matter what they're craving or why they're craving it, from the chief marketing officer, Iwona Alter. The cost of the meal is $4.20. See what they did there?
Yeah.
And the meals, it's actually not a random thing. It's they did it starting now because starting January 1st, the Adult Use of Marijuana Act went into effect in California, allowing people 21 and older to possess an ounce of marijuana for recreational purposes. Same exact law that's here, actually. They're just now catching on to us, even though they've had medical way longer than us. Jack in the Box has 2,200 restaurants nationwide, but only the ones with legalized marijuana will get this. So it might come to Vegas soon. You never know. That is pretty dope.
It is pretty dope.
Unintended.
You know, unfortunately, what the president just recently did by revoking and reversing the bill that Obama put up regarding marijuana, now the feds are going to be in control, not the states. So we're looking at a situation here where a lot of people are going to be confused about that. Sure, you can still go to the spot and pick your goods up, But you better go directly home and smoke it. Don't get caught out with it. Because now, for all the people that invested their money into these different houses where they can sell recreational marijuana and also the medical stuff, look, they'll never be able to put their money in the bank now. And that was an issue in the beginning.
Yep.
Because all the think of all the money that comes crashing into these dispensaries, all right? Now, we're talking about hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars. So when you get all that money, where are you going to store it? You got to stash it somewhere. Your pillow ain't big enough anymore. Some of these places around the country, they have safes inside the playboard. You put a safe inside, somebody's going to come in and think they're bright enough to crack it and get into it. So now you got, where's your safe house? Where are you going to put your money? You can't put it in a bank. And now when this bill completely passes that the president is reversing that Obama had, now you're not going to have any place ever to put it. So that's a situation you're going to have to look into if you're investing into being a grower or a dispensary. The grower in particular is the guy that's probably going to be targeted more than anyone else.
Yeah, there's so much gray area. And even now, since it's been legalized, quote unquote, it's too much gray area. It's rough. And a lot of stuff retroactively doesn't really make sense either. I get it. They're not going to, you know, remove someone's felony or what have you. But it is kind of ridiculous when you're doing time or have a felony for something that is no longer illegal.
Think about it. You're in prison. That's a very good point. You're in prison for slinging marijuana. Okay, that's one thing, you're trafficking. But if you're in prison for having it on your possession in a state where it's illegal, or in a state where it is legal, or that you go to prison for it. Think about it.
Yeah.
Now it's okay, but not for you. You're still going to do your time. They should pardon those people.
Or there's got to be some kind of threshold, I guess, or something. Because, yeah, it's just a total gray area. Just there's no rhyme or reason to it. And the same goes with the whole bank situation. But it's still early, hopefully. I mean, it's some progress. At least they've made it legal in certain circumstances and things like that. So it just stinks to be kind of in that between situation, not really knowing what you should do, and you know. So.
But Snoop Dogg, that's dope. 420.
Snoop knows what's up.
Yep. Christoph Porzingis, the unicorn, badass. Okay, with the Knicks. But earlier this week, he kind of killed his stock somewhat, and you never do this when you're the leader of the pack. He didn't have a good game. And afterwards, with reporters, his reply was, "I'm tired. I'm very tired. I'm very, very tired." He went on and kept saying the word tired over and over and over again. Look, you never show weakness in basketball or in any sport. You may say to the coach, "Hey, listen, I can't, take me out a few minutes more. I don't have the endurance to continue." You may go through that. However, you never say out loud to the public, and to the public is to print or any type of media form, "I'm tired." And he went on and explained himself. No, don't tell us. Okay? You're 7-4. We get it. So you know what's going to happen now? Every team that plays the Knicks, you either double team him or you run the ball up and down the court for the entire game. You know, you run him in the ground. That's what you do now.
Yeah.
You got a guy saying he can't handle the endurance. Maybe I'm not conditioned well enough. Whatever the case is, you never show your weakness. Sorry, unicorn. You're a dope.
Yeah. Mentally is what I'm thinking.
Thank you.
Besides physical, I'm just thinking the mental, the strategy of a basketball game. I know it's also very physical, but your point, and then to add to that, yeah, just knowing, all right, guys, here's a strategy. We got a team with a center that is just mentally and physically exhausted, like you just said. Let's take it to him. So, yeah, not exactly the smartest thing. How long has he been in the league for?
Was it about 4 years, 3-4 years?
Kind of should know better by now, right?
Well, he's maybe not from America. He's not from the United States. So he doesn't know the culture of the game of the NBA. You never, ever let people know that you're either A, scared of an opponent, you fear your opponent, or that you're tired, that you're worn out. Your endurance is not there. You don't have the conditioning to keep up with everyone else. And that's the problem I have here with Porzingis.
Yeah, not very smooth. All right. Oksana Zaharoff, 46, from Edgewater, New Jersey. She was shopping in Manhattan and asked a clerk for a $1 New York Lottery scratch-off ticket. Instead, the man unwittingly handed her a $10 set for life ticket. I used to play the lottery a little bit in Pennsylvania before I was here because we don't have gambling out there. And they did have, way back when, they did have like a, it was $1,000 a week for life. I remember that. And
What do you mean?
The ticket, you know, they make dollar tickets where you can win, you know, 5, 10, 20 bucks, whatever it is, and you never win. Or you win a grand prize. This one, like, if you got all the whatever, you know, the whatever the symbol was, and you got three matching ones, you could win. That was their, you know, their thing. $1,000 a week for life, which would be great right now. And back then, we're talking 10 plus years ago, would have been really great.
That would have been dope.
Yeah, I never even had a chance. So that kind of reminds me of these. Anyway, she noticed the mistake, but she just felt bad and said, yeah, I'll just buy it anyway. She paid $10 for the card instead of a dollar.
Yeah.
She's a mother of two. She told the press release, told them in a press release she was using the ticket as a bookmark for a couple weeks before she decided to scratch it. She won $5 million to be distributed over 20 years, plus annual net sums of over $172,000 after that for the rest of her life.
Wow.
Yeah. She said, I never win anything. I was sure the ticket was fake. It wasn't until I brought it into the office that I knew it was real. So I thought that was pretty dope. She hopes to take her family on a Bahamas vacation and plans to fund her children's college education.
That is dope.
Not bad.
Yep. Right. Lighters down. 28 after. We'll get our good friend coming up here.
George Cole.
Now back to Game On, Seat Williams.
3:33 in the Valley, back at you. Rolling across town, a good friend of ours. Missed him the last couple of weeks. George Cole, Ayante, Canary North. George, how are you, brother?
Hey, I'm hanging in there, man. How you doing, Seat?
Not too bad. A little bit under the weather right now, but hanging tight.
You and the rest of the city.
Yeah.
It's not the only thing. I'll tell you what, when you work in a casino and you're face-to-face with the public all the time. We got about 70% of our staff under the weather, I think.
Not good. All right, we're going to get you going here with the football, and we'll start with the big boys tomorrow.
Sure.
Tennessee, Kansas City, and I'll let you run down the games. We got the four of them, and then, of course, we'll look at the big game Monday night. Then we've got the Vegas Golden Knights on ice tonight, some NBA games, slab of them. We'll start with the football. I'll let you go off Kansas City, Tennessee.
All right, on Kansas City, Tennessee, KC opened at 7.5. That's up to 8.5. Majority of the money and bets coming in on the Chiefs. In the Falcons-Rams, the Rams opened -5, and that's now up to -6. Looks like we're taking a little bit of sharp money on the Falcons, +6, but the majority of the tickets are on the Rams in that game. The total in that game opened at 50. It's down to 48.5, and to backtrack for a minute, Titans-Chiefs opened at 45.5. That's at 44.5. Just to let you know, we will be having props on those games. First scoring play of the game, margin of victory props, player to score the first touchdown, total points scored, first to 20 points, will it be a special team or defensive TD, and longest TD of the game. We'll have that on both the games as well as Sunday's games as well. Moving on to Sunday, it looks like we had the Jags opened at 7.5. That's now up to 8. Saints also opened at 6. That's now up to 7. Totals in those games also dropping. The Bills-Jags opened at 40.5. That's down to 39.5. And the Panthers-Saints had opened 48.5. That's down to 48. Looks like the majority of the money is on the Jags as well as the tickets. Are taking a little bit of sharp money on the Panthers +7. But we're going to need some dogs to come in this weekend in the sports books. If all four home team favorites win, it's going to be ugly for us.
Yeah, you know, so the sharps are hitting what game the most?
It looks like the Jags at +7 they like, and Falcons +6 they're betting. We went as high as 6.5 for a moment on that game, and the sharps ate it up.
So you mean the Jags minus that 7? Yeah.
It's, Yep, exactly. Sorry about that.
No, okay. Anything in particular with the totals?
It looks like we have under money on the Chiefs-Titans, under money on the Falcons-Rams, and on the later game, the Sunday games, under money on the Saints-Panthers. Not too much on the Bills-Jags yet.
George Cole, Yante, Kennery North here on the show. Game on. George, you mentioned some props. Are there any other props you want to drop on us?
You know, when we get down to hockey, I want to mention that we got some Golden Knights props coming up now. So I'll go through that when we get over to hockey.
Hey, let's jump on that right now. What do you have as far as that game tonight? And they gave it a ride last night, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. I mean, it was. I was at the one that they won 8 in a row. I went on Tuesday night, man. This is it's a beautiful thing how the city's back in this team. Right now, the Blackhawks had opened up -120. It's up to 125, but we have both money both ways in that game, total of 6. Like I said, we started on some of the Golden Knights games. We're starting to offer just some basic props. You know, we have the race to goals. Will the Golden Knights to the first 3 goals? The Blackhawks to the first 3 goals? Neither team scores 3 goals. We have some three-way betting on just regulation only. Is it a Golden Knights, Blackhawks draw, team to score first? And then we also have some margin of victory props. So this hockey's really taken off. I did a little analysis of October 1st to December 31st of last year compared to October 1st to December 31st of this year. And I want to say our handle was up close to 35% in hockey, and I think the majority of it's due to the Golden Knights.
You know, George, I can't believe it. I mean, it's almost like we're in this it's surreal. We're in this dream that's continuous for the whole year. But a couple of people said this to me when I said describe them, and it came back, they're just good.
Yeah, they're good. They're scrappy. They're tough. And they're fun to watch. I mean, it's the show that you see when you go to the games is just unreal. The whole before the game, they do this thing with the Knights, you know, skating out on ice versus the opposing team's, you know, mascot. And throughout the game, the drums going on, just the video and light show. It's quite a scene, and it's really nice to see.
I think that's really cool. You're putting props up on them now. Here's the deal. We got Super Bowl Sunday. The Knights play that morning.
We're already planning a big party here at Aliante.
Wow.
The Puck and Pigskin party.
Nice. And also, you're probably going to have some props up on that game to go with the Super Bowl game, right?
Yeah, we sure will. That game starts at 9:30 on Super Bowl Sunday. We're having T-shirts made, and we're kind of going to go all in here at the Aliante on Golden Knights hockey. You know, once the football's over, anytime the Golden Knights are playing, it's up on our giant screens, and we have sound on the games, and people are really starting to get into it. It's, you know, it's kind of overtaken the NBA a little. You know, I'm not saying all of hockey, but when the Golden Knights are playing, it's what people in the crowd want to watch.
You know, and that's the thing. It's not so much – you don't really have to be a hockey fan to be a Golden Knights fan. That's what I am. I came up in San Diego. We had the Gulls that played in some minor league. I've never saw them play. However – this team right here is our team, okay? We embrace them. And even if you're not a huge NHL or hockey fan in general, there's nothing wrong with being a Vegas Golden Knights fan, is it?
No, you know, I mean, for me, I grew up in the, you know, in New Jersey, but I grew up in the Philadelphia, raised on Philadelphia sports. You know, football, I'm an Eagles fan, you know, through and through, but I'm a Golden Knights fan now. I can tell you that. You know, I don't think I'm going to jump ship on the Eagles, but you know, when the Raiders end up showing up here. But I'll tell you what, I'm a Golden Knights guy now.
That's awesome. All right, let's go to the hardwoods. I'll give you a chance to flip things over with the NBA. Ton of games. I actually got off the chair and decided to play some parlay. I got some games going tonight. So give us what you got here as far as the line moves and things of that nature.
Yeah, let's see. It looks like the Heat opened up at 5. They are now at 5.5. 76ers opened up at 6. They're down to 5.5. Celtics opened up -4. They are now 3.5. Raptors had opened up 1.5. That stayed right where it was. The Bulls hosting, or the Mavericks hosting the Bulls. Mavericks are -4. That's down from 4.5. Spurs hosting the Suns. Spurs open at 12. That's now 12.5. Jazz at the Nuggets. Nuggets are 6.5, right where it opened. Wizards away at the Grizzlies. Open at 5. They're now -4.5. Hawks, Blazers. Blazers open at 7. That's now 7.5. And finally, we have the Hornets and the Lakers. Hornets open -2.5 at the Lake Show, and it stayed at 2.5.
Yeah. Here's the thing, the NBA and trending. Now, I want to get your update on this. Have the totals been going over or under majority-wise so far?
You know, it's kind of been a combination. If you look at the board, I mean, they put the totals so high now. You know, in the Knicks-Heat game, it's at 202. The Pistons game opened at 209. It's 210.5. The Thunder, T-Wolves, Sixers, that game's made a five-point jump. It opened at 206. We're now at 211. The Bucks is 217. Mavericks, you know, from 213, it's down to 211. Spurs, Suns are 209.5. That's down a point. It's like I said, I think we're setting the totals so high now. They're still betting the overs, but it's coming in about 50/50.
Wow. All right. Let's see. Other games. I'm trying to think. We got
the college football on Monday.
Yes.
Might as well go over real quick. And Bama had opened 4. We're back to 4. That game had gone as high as, I want to say, 5.5. Let me just double check. No, we got up to 5 for a minute. It looks like most of the sharp money started coming. Georgia, they bet heavy at 4.5. They're still betting it at 4, and we're taking Alabama money at 4, so we'll probably sit there for a little while. I would think come game time, just the majority of the tickets will keep coming in on Alabama, although a lot of people think it's almost basically a home game for Georgia being played there in Atlanta. So the total, it looks like the most action we have right now is on the total, which dropped from 47 all the way to 44.5. Everybody's loading up on the under.
What about props? Do you have any of those?
Not in front of me, not yet. I would think over the weekend we'll start to put some stuff up on that.
Wow. I'm just trying to think. Are we missing anything? UFC got something coming up this weekend. You got that in front of you?
Let me see what we got. God, there's so much stuff on the board. We put up Masters Tennis up today. Matchups. Give me one sec here, see.
You know what, if you don't have that, what do you have on the tennis coming up, the Masters? Because I know as far as Australian Open, I know Serena, she pulled herself out.
Yeah, let me see where we are on the Masters. Like I said, we've got so much stuff up now with all these different props.
That's George Cole.
I'm running through it here. So I did you get my message? I got your Najee sitting for you, bud.
Ah, for those wondering, Najee is he's a saxophone player. So a couple of weeks, I'll be over at Yonte checking out one of my favorite artists. Thank you, my friend.
Anytime, my man. You know what? It's just so buried in here on the screen. So, yeah, we still have Serena pulled out of the Australian Open. Federer's the favorite in the Australian. Now, here we go for the Masters. I'm sorry. It took so long to get down to the bottom of the screen. Jordan Spieth, 7-1 right now. Dustin Johnson, 9-1. McIlroy, 10-1. Day, 20-1. Matsuyama, 15-1. Ricky Fowler, 12-1. Let's see if we can find Tiger Woods. He opened at 18-1. He's bet down to 8-1 already. They jumped all over him as soon as he got up on the board. Mickelson, 20-1. Look at a few other long shots. Snedeker, 50-1, is taking a few bets. Casey at 25-1 is taking a few bets. But, you know, these will move over around quite a bit since we've got such a long time till the bet.
Sounds good. Let the folks know about the app.
You can always find us on BeConnectedSports.com. It's available on Android and iPhone. It's a free download. You'll have up-to-the-second odds, like I said, at this time of year, between Mexican soccer, European soccer, World Cup. There's just so much up on the boards. The best thing you can do is put them right in the palm of your hands. You can see everything that we have to offer here at Boyd Gaming.
You be safe, George. You have a good weekend, my friend.
Okay, get well, see. You have a good one, too.
Thank you. George Cole, Aliante Kennery North. We're going to step away. We'll come back. We'll give those Rebel tickets away as the Rebs take on San Diego State coming up later this month. They get Utah State come tomorrow. all next.
Now back to Game On with Seat Williams.
Trying
to keep me here longer.
349 in the Valley.
There you go.
Final go-round brought to you by Reliable Banner, reliablebanner.com. I apologize. A little food poisoning. Gee. I'm not going to tell you where, but I know when it hits me, and it's a pretty prominent place, too. It's just unfortunate. All right. Let's do the Rebel giveaway. Caller number 5. We'll make it quick. Rebels San Diego State later this month. They get Utah State. They better wake up. I mean, they struggled and had to go to overtime to win 82-76 over San Jose State earlier this week. They lost at home to Boise to open the conference. So you got to get this game. Utah State is, I mean, they're no walk in the park, but you're better than they are on paper, so you beat them on the floor. All right, caller number 5, 702-365-9200, 702-365-9200. Thanks to George Cole. Ari, I'm Seat Williams, folk. Chin's tucked low, guards up high. We'll see you on the radio. More of the show Monday. NBC Sports Radio 920. Game on. Game over.